Hey, we started our series, Route 66, and by the way, we got something kind of, special. Like, what's neat is the Greens, Carrie Green had a trip with her mom planned, and so next week, when they'll be back, and she actually got to go to Route 66, Missouri, Kansas, and Oklahoma, and took pictures on all the way, so that's very cool. And so I want to do that. I'd like to hit all of it, you know. I'm just afraid I get to Los Angeles. I hear you lose your mind out there. So I might stay on Route 66 right there and down the Santa Monica Boulevard. But anyways, last week we started, there's going to be a few weeks of an intro here. And last week we found out the history behind Route 66. It was the first interstate the United States had. It really took people from really kind of the Midwest area clear westward. And so farmers, truckers started jumping on it. It became known as the way. And we talked last week, the way. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, right? And we know that Jesus Christ, this is his mind, 1 Corinthians 7. So the Bible, this book is the way. If somebody wants to know the way, you got to get them the book, you know? And so, and some people out there, you'll start talking about the Bible, like, hey, man, I don't need preached at. Man, I'm just giving you the instructions. I'm giving you what the Bible says. It's the way. But then we also seen when World War II kicked in, they jumped and used this not just to get soldiers quickly to where they're going. Family members started going to be with their soldiers in California before they were shipped off to war. And they would stay amongst the hotels and restaurants. And Dan Fridley was telling me that Steak and Shake, yeah, it was a Route 66 restaurant. And so that's what they would do. And then they started making ammunition, tanks, planes all along the way, and people were using that route, and so people were moving that direction. So basically, we made a practical point that Route 66, our Bible, is made for war, right? In this life, life's tough, man. And so whether it's an internal battle or one on the outside that we see, we know there's a great war out there that's raging. This book was made for war. So I don't care if you're having trouble in your relationships, you're fighting the monies. What are you messing with? What do you got going on? This book's made for war. Remember that. You go to the book of Ephesians. It's the only offensive weapon that we have is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, Route 66. So, and I'm telling you, it does it, man. I've been liking that song lately, just the words in that song, Psalms 23, where that girl sings about, and she goes, you know what anxiety hates? Psalms 23. She says, it'll kill it. Unless you don't want to believe God's word, then anxiety can kill Psalms 23. You know, I just love it. It's kind of a popular song right now. So I believe the Bible. Do you believe the Bible? And if you don't believe the Bible, it's okay. You don't have to. God gives you a will. It just won't work for you. It don't work for a lot of... I have people tell me that all the time. It just ain't working for me. I don't know what's missing there, but the Bible works 100% of the time. This is a book that's the way. It's a book for war. And then in history, we've seen Route 66 kind of went wayward. We were done with work and war. We started resting and playing. And during that time period, Route 66 started losing out towards the end of that. And so we made a point last week that the Bible has faded in our culture. It's not the route to go anymore. They've got four-lane highways everywhere. Route 66 is now called Historic Route 66. It's like a book for history. I got news for you. This book is all about doctrine. It's got the teaching that we need. This book is all about history, too. It is a history book. You got history in here. But the third thing, it's a book that will inspire you. It's a book for inspiration. It still works. I hope it's more than just a history book for you. People read it and say, it's so boring. This time when you open your book Monday morning, say, hey, God, I got three things in my life right now that are out of sorts and bugging me. Would you please speak into it? Would you please speak to me? And listen, you better hold the back of your head because it's going to blow off. God will speak. When he'll show up, man, you'll shudder. This book is real. This is a book that's living. I knew a couple guys that used to preach on the streets. And they would just go to random places where there was crowds of people in the U.S. And they would just stand and just start proclaiming the Bible's true. And one time, one guy, he put down his Bible on the ground, and he took off his hat, and he put his hat over the Bible. People are at this bus stop, and he just started screaming, it's alive! It's alive! Watch out! Watch out! It's alive! And he pulled his hat up, and he goes, it's God's Word, you know. It's alive, you know, and it'll tear you up, you know. So even when things go wayward, we know that this book, we got to preach it in season, because right now it seems to be out of season. We ended last week with kind of a point number four that was a little bit dorky, but it's still the way. We started off with, it's the way. It's still the way. We need to bring it back. I don't know about you, but I love that little quote. I stole this from somewhere. I don't know who said this, but I can't take credit for it. That God moves, and when God starts a movement, men get a hold of it and they start a ministry. And then once you get a ministry, you want the ministry running effectively, and before you know it, it becomes a machine. And if your church becomes a machine where you don't even need the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus is on the outside trying to get it. People aren't a people of faith anymore. You got plenty of money in the bank, and they're like, well, you at least as a church need to have enough money in the bank that you can live 6 months if there wasn't one offering taken up. You know, they say things like that. Well, churches build their wealth, and all of a sudden, you know, we got churches in town. There's a dead church in town, and they just built a new building here like a year, 2 years ago. And, you know, it's like, I don't know, what are you, Kevin Costner, build it and they shall come. I don't know what you're trying to do there, but I got news for you. I don't care if you got a pine box or if you've got a $27,000 shiny casket. There's dead people in there. They're dead. It don't matter about that exterior like that. But you get to, before this movement and this ministry now works like a machine. You don't need God, and guess what? The next thing that happens, it's the same thing that happened with Route 66. It became historic Route 6. It'll be a monument. And I like that. I really like it, and I think it preaches. I don't want to be that. I really don't want to be that. Hey, today, what I want to do is I want to cover two things today. One, ramps. Two, the rewards. I'm going to cover, there's three on-ramps to get to Route 66. And then I want to preach to you some rewards of Route 66. Now, I've read quite a few books on the subject of the overview of the Bible. We teach it in the Bible Institute. But I want you to know a lot of my inspiration, especially the beginning and the intro, it does come from a book I read by Chuck Swindoll. He's retired now, but he's a great old preacher, been on the radio for years. By the way, some of them preachers on the radio, these guys, you know they're dying, don't you? They're dying. Charles Stanley. Dr. David Jeremiah. These guys are getting old, right? Chuck Swindoll. These guys that preached on the radio, and they're solid as a rock. There's some on the radio now that are still pretty solid. But I'm just telling you, so young men in the room, why can't you be next? You know, everybody looks at Billy Graham and says, what a man that guy was. Isn't it amazing? The ministry he had, and he prayed with all those presidents, went all over the world, won thousands to Christ. Just a farm boy. He grew up on a little farm. He's just like you and me. God got a hold of his life. I don't know what people, do you think there's something special about it? People that preach and proclaim and do big things for God? I'm telling you, they're very average people. But God does extraordinary things with them. That's what he wants to do with you. I just want to encourage you. Would you dream a little bit bigger? Sometimes I can't believe it. I got emotional watching the championship years ago, back when LeBron James won his first NBA title. And I remember when he won that first one, and he stood there on the platform, and he got teary-eyed, and he's just like, I'm not even supposed to be here. He goes, I'm just a boy from Akron. And I sat there is also a kid from Akron. And God spoke to my heart and said, you're not supposed to be here, but I placed you here. Sometimes we think you got to be some extraordinary special person. Like, you know, God, you know, oh, well, that's a qualified individual. And, you know, God don't call qualified people. He qualifies the called. He's called you and me, man. Let him qualify you. Didn't we read it? Moses like, man, God, I'm not even very good at speaking. Well, I got news for you, Moses. You know why I called you? I didn't call you because you were the best speaker in the world. I called you because you looked out and see one of my people getting killed by an Egyptian. What did you do? You went out and committed murder. I thought, man, if he's willing to get that crazy to deliver one of the nation of Israel, I'm going to use this cat to deliver the whole nation. I'm calling you to go to Pharaoh. And what did Moses say this morning? Who am I? Well, you're nothing. But God's something. And he wants to work inside of you. Amen? So are we ready? These are the two things we're going to cover today. Number one and two, you'll get it. There's on-ramps and then the rewards. Here we go. As we look at the on-ramps to get onto Route 66, there's three on-ramps, and this is the first one. The first on-ramp is this, God's revelation. I want you to know when we're talking about the Bible, there's three things like really in history, and God puts it together, and some of them are still working, these on-ramps, but I want to talk to you about the doctrine of revelation. The doctrine of revelation. You know, because this is how the Bible came to be. Basically, God disclosing himself. It's like going to a play. There's a scene going on, but there's a curtain, and you're sitting there, you can read all about it, know everything about it, but there's a curtain there. And you know what happens at the very beginning? A little music kicks on, and all of a sudden the curtains open up. I want you to know this is the doctrine of revelation where God is showing us what's behind the scene. Listen, you know what it is? God on display. This is a great doctrine in the Bible, but I want you to know the first route for revelation is to get on Route 66 is the doctrine of revelation. God reveals his word. That's how we got this book. It's an on-ramp. We got to believe it. And here it is. Number one, God personally wrote his truths. Two, God spoke directly to individuals. Three, God illustrated his revelation. And then just a little side note that's on the bottom. Now that the Bible's complete, this on-ramp's closed down, but we do got to talk about it. This is God's revelation, and we got it completed today. There's still people out there that are looking for dreams. They want to hear an audible voice. And some of these people don't even get in God's word, and they're like, God spoke to me today. What's really crazy is when they tell you God spoke something. I've had this said to me twice. I'm not lying. Well, God told me I shouldn't be with him. Well, you're married and got children. What are you talking? Where'd that revelation come from? I got news, I wouldn't want to be with him either, but you're stuck. What in the world going to cross the Bible lines? No, it's not true. So let me, that's wrong. Let me work this thing a little bit. You ready? First of all, God personally wrote his truths. Guys, we all know this. We've seen it in cartoons. We've seen it on TV shows where God sends Moses up to the mountain. And do you remember God with his finger wrote on the tables of stone? If you remember that, raise your hand. That's how, yeah, God wrote his truths. Deuteronomy 5:22, if you're taking notes and you just want some verses of that. Or Deuteronomy 4:13. Remember Moses came down, got fired up and broke them all? God says, get back up there. So he goes back up there and God does it again. God writes it again. Which is funny because we're not going to talk about Bible preservation today, but you want to talk about the people who are like, some people don't believe God preserved his word. You know how many times it's been copied over and over again? I'm like, yeah, God did it. From the very beginning, God copied it. There's another copy you'll see in Jeremiah when they threw him into the fire. I don't know if you remember that. Threw it in the fire and they're like, hey, go write that again. Like, oh, well, they're not going to be accurate now. Yeah, God is just that small. Why do we make God human? It's not like Mike Blake in English class. God don't work that way. It's going to be bad if I do that. Sometimes I used to write letters to the church years ago. And I'd always hand it to somebody, usually my wife, to proof it. And my gosh, I just like, my God, why do you give me a D-? And then she'd change it, and I'd read it to where it was accurate. And I was like, but it don't sound like me. She goes, I know. We don't want it to. God wrote on two tables of stone. The second thing I want to point out in Revelation is God spoke directly to individuals. So not only did God write his word, there's times in the Bible where men would go, like in Numbers 1, the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness. God would audibly speak to people. Joshua, I mean, we see this, and I think we know this. I just want to point out something today that, and guys, don't get me wrong. Sometimes I feel like God is laying on my heart to speak to somebody. And I'll go speak to them. I think the Holy Spirit can prompt us. He'll give you an unction, like the Bible says at the end of the New Testament. But I want you to know that this book is complete. Don't look for more revelation. People are wanting dreams. They're wanting, and today, like people act like they're Jews, and they're like, oh God, please give me a sign what you want me to do. Hey God, give me a sign if you want me to go to church today. I opened up the Bible in Hebrews, and it told me to go to church. What sign are you looking for? That's ridiculous. And then if you really want to know that your dead relative is still living and is in heaven, everybody wants a sign that their mom or their grandma or their Aunt Lucy ended up, you know, going to heaven. God, give me a sign. I've heard people say, man, the clouds were there, and as soon as I prayed dead, the clouds opened up and the sun shined. I knew that was my Aunt Frida, you know? I'm like, okay. Well, then the next person tells me, yeah, Uncle Frank, I got into the car and I shut the car door and I just wanted a sign that he was with us. I shut the car door and the lights flickered in the car. It's never done that before. Now, they're not telling the end of the story. 3 weeks later, they had to replace the bulb up in there, you know? But people are a little crazy on that. They just want signs. And I'll tell you right now, you wouldn't want a sign so much if you would get into God's revelation. He would reveal it to you. You wouldn't need that stuff because you would see it and it would speak truth. But I know that we're touchy-feely people. I'm a touchy-feely man. Guys, I love to feel God, if that makes sense. I had a Methodist guy tell me one time that he smelled God. I was like, man, what's God smell like? And it's funny. Don't you go to some people's house and they light candles and you're just like, dang, it stinks in here. Dollar General sells more vanilla plug-ins than any other scent on the planet. And that's why when you go into people's house, you go into, and seriously, white trashy friends, you go in their house and they got 17 cats, but all you smell is vanilla with a hint of cat pee, you know? I'm like, hey, the house don't smell good. Do you think God smells like vanilla? You know, or somebody says, God smells like sugar cookies. Great, I'm a diabetic. Jeez. You know, what does God smell like? I think God smells like a cheeseburger. I could really, you know, what's God smell like? He smells like roses. Oh, I'm allergic to roses. Ain't that crazy? People are nutty. But we got a revelation. God spoke directly to individuals. The third thing I want to point out is God illustrated his revelation. And what I mean when I say this is in Genesis chapter 20, take notes because this ain't our outline for today. It is a little bit, but I'm going to get to verses. In Genesis chapter 20, God spoke in a dream. God spoke in dreams. A guy would go to sleep and God in dream form would come to him and like illustrate something and sometimes even tell him to write it down. What about Revelation 1:19 when John is there and God said, write these things that you've seen. I'm going to show you some things and I want you to write it down. God illustrates his revelation. So the act of revelation, this is, listen, everybody listen, it's a supernatural work of God which he communicates divine truth bigger than us to humans, otherwise that we could not know. But God reveals it. It's a revelation. I can't wait, man. Wait till, well, it won't be next week. It'll be the week after. Whew. The Route 66 message is like, it's very moving what we'll see, what this book puts together. In Jude chapter 3, there's a verse that you probably heard quoted a lot. You know, we can get there. You know the book of Revelation? Go to the book right before it. It's the book of Jude. And I know right now you want to sing, don't you? Hey. Revelation, back up. Go to Jude chapter 3. Jude chapter 3 and verse, I'm just kidding, there's only one chapter. So you're thinking, man, something's messed up here, you know? My gosh. But in the book of Jude, look what he says in verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Just wanted to point this verse out because once the faith was delivered, and Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So once the saints received the faith, now we're told in the book of Jude, one of the last books written in the New Testament, we're told to earnestly contend for that faith. I guess I just wanted you to know, I wanted to say this because I believe this act, this on-ramp, is closed. Do you believe that? Now, I'm not saying God can't reveal things to you, because that's another word the Bible kind of uses. I'm going to show that to you. But I just want you to know the Bible's complete. That's why right away, when we know the Bible's complete, you read the book of Galatians, and all of a sudden you have a Latter-day Saint or you have a Mormon show up at your door and just say,
hey, do you realize that Jesus Christ came to America? And we got it's right here. He came to the Indians. We got it right here in the Book of Mormon. And that's when you should say, well, you don't really have to say something. You should hear something like this. That was a bad, you know. Get off my porch. The revelation's done. I read a lot of books about the Bible. Guys, every book that you read, we're reading a book called The Circle Maker right now, right? As a church, we're talking about a couple chapters on Wednesday night. So we're reading The Circle Maker. But I got news for you. Is it the revelation of God? No, this is the revelation of God. Every human author I read, you know what I do? I try to eat the meat and I spit out the bones. Not everything's going to be perfect in there. There's authors out there, I'm like, hey, great book. And I'll have a pastor say, you recommend that book to me. Do you know chapter 5 what this guy believes? I'm like, it's not the Bible. It's not like the Holy Spirit. God inspired this guy to do it. Can you just not eat that stuff? You know, the only thing you can't do that to is like tapioca pudding. I like the pudding part. I just don't like the fish eggs in there. Try to spit them out and enjoy the juice. You can't. So don't eat it, right? So just want you to know, I believe and our church believes we got a completed book right here, 66 books. There's a reason it's 66 too. I'm going to show you that in the Old Testament. I think why God put 66 together. So anyways, next. Number two, the second on-ramp to get onto this route, to this intersection, the interstate of Route 66, it's one, the doctrine of revelation, but two, let's talk about this doctrine of inspiration, God's inspiration. This is the supernatural act of God whereby he directs human authors of Scripture that without destroying their individuality, their style of writing, or even their personality, God, his complete and connected thoughts towards humanity was received. People that wrote the Bible were not like perfect people. They were like you and me. I mean, God called them. I'm not saying they're not special. I wouldn't say that. But I would say God even used their personality and God delivered this heavenly truth to them. And they were able to record it without error or without contradiction. Each word supernaturally written and preserved. And so now, all of a sudden, as a result of that, we've got an infallible book. I believe the Bible's without error. People like to prove that it has error. If you want to show me a contradiction in the Bible, I'll show it to you. I'll deal with it because I don't believe the Bible contradicts itself. Usually, there's when you read something and there's a contradiction, like, let me give you a simple, and this is a real simple, and for those of you in D2 class would know this. You're reading the Bible, just say, Jesus will say, hey, behold, like I'm preaching the kingdom of heaven. Then all of a sudden you'll read in the next book and it'll same like context and it'll say it's the kingdom of God. Was there a problem there? One says kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. Well, the natural thing to say is, guess what? It's both the same. Okay, now wait a minute. God and heaven. That's not the same. One's a place, one's a person. The Bible says there's three heavens. God's abode's in the third one. So people would say, that's just a contradiction then. And then modern translators make it all, usually the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven. Well, guess what? You're losing something. There's a reason why it's changed and spelled something different in one. It's our job to figure that out. God, why did you do it this way? There's something special there to learn, but most people just say, there's got to be a problem. There's no contradictions in this book. So I want you to know something. This is some good stuff here. Take your Bibles and go to 2 Peter 1 and verse 20. 2 Peter 1, 20. Back by Revelation, yeah. I tell you, that darn tablet and phone messes you up when you got to flip pages in your Bible, doesn't it? Whew. I thought, my gosh, maybe 2 Peter's not a book of the Bible. Oh, there it is. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Everybody look at verse 20. Well, let's go to 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto, by the way,
I don't have time to get into the story, but it's kind of beautiful how he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Talking to a guy that heard the audible voice of God. And now he's saying, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that you would take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, unto the day dawn, the day star arise in your hearts. 20. Knowing that this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Looking at these passages, I want to just talk to you about this doctrine of inspiration. It's actually pretty clear and clean. And by the way, I don't think I have. Yeah, that's not me. So you ready? If you're taking notes, the cause. The cause of the Bible coming to be, the cause of the inspiration was God the Holy Spirit, right? That's what it says right here. That men of God, when God spoke, they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the cause, they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2, the agent. The agent was a human writer. It says here in verse 21 that men were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Goose? That ain't funny. They were moved. The Holy Ghost moved men. So the cause was the Spirit. The agent, men. The result, it says here, the prophecy of the Scripture. The prophecy of the Scripture. They were moved. The Bible, the Scriptures. That's why it says the result. It mentions Scripture in here. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. All. So just to let you know, there's a cause, there's the agent, and the result is we get the Scriptures. Now there's a source, and the source here is God Himself. The source is God Himself. Prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God did this, right? Right. The process is, it says in 21 there, that Holy Spirit spake as they were moved. The process was a moving through human beings. There was a moving of God. God moved. We talked about that last week, about the movement of God and men making a ministry. The process, God moved through human beings. I like what Dr. Tony Evans says. He says, God is the only person on the planet can have a perfect lick with a crooked stick. Humans. God gets a perfect lick through a crooked stick. It's true. And then the last thing is the extent of this. The inspiration extends to both the Old and New Testament. There's no part more or less inspired in the Bible. Hey, and I don't want to break it to you, like, I don't want to break your heart. But let me just tell you, my Bible don't have Jesus' words in red. A lot of Bibles don't. Bibles in history never did. We just got fancy printing presses now, so they've been doing it for a while, and people love. I love the words of Jesus in red. Does it mean that the words in red are more inspired than the black words? Guys, it does not mean that. He's the author of it all. The Holy Spirit of God. And hey, some people like the red. Don't think I'm knocking you, because people like that. I get it. They make a rainbow Bible out there, and it has nothing to do with LGBTQ stuff either. It's a rainbow Bible. They theme with different themes and inspiration, and all through your Bible it'll be colored blue. It'll be colored yellow. When you see yellow, that's going to be a heavenly path. You know, that's cool. I don't care. It don't matter. You know, we're after these words, right? So not one piece and part is more inspired or less inspired than others. And by the way, it's funny because Jesus Christ said some words to the nation of Israel. And they're not for us. So you could read those words and says, Jesus said it. Them words are in red. I've had people make a point with that. And I'm like, the only thing I like about the red letters in the Bible is David Crowder's song. The red letter, that's it. I like that. It's kind of cool. But besides that, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Does everybody got that? 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by God. And guess what? When I studied the Greek, I studied the Greek, and it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So do you know what the word all means in Greek? All. That's exactly what it means. Every piece of it. If you read the Scriptures, there's a few spots in the Bible that says crazy things. Like, you guys ever heard that don't muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn? That's a verse mentioned, I think, 3 times in Scripture. You know, a laborer is worthy of his hire. So don't muzzle the ox. Put a sack of feed on that thing as he's working, right? That's what the verse says. That verse came out first in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 4 of Scripture. Later on in Luke chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus Christ quotes it. After that, the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, quotes it. Guess what? All 3 times. Was that inspired the first time? No, Jesus quoted the words of Jesus. We got some that's under the law, and then we got the Pauline epistles. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Anyways, good stuff. The doctrine of revelation is the first ramp. The second one we got is the God's inspiration. And then the third one is God's illumination. Now, I want you to know this one here has to do with our understanding and applying Scriptures. This is John 16:13. John 16:13 says, the Spirit of God will guide you into all truth. He'll guide you in the book. So the revelation's already happened, right? So what we want now is we do want to be the Spirit, and the Bible's been inspired. Some people like to say that ramp's closed too. There's one time in the Bible, inspiration, I want to be inspired by it. So I kind of keep this on here and don't want to say that clearly like that. But this ramp here is totally open today. Like, God, open our eyes. Illuminate me. It's like going, you ever go to a 3D movie? I hate 3D movies, by the way. I don't know if you do. I don't think they're so cool. But some people do. And little kids think they're really cool. But that movie's terrible. I go in there, I'm like, why would anybody pay for a movie that's blurry? You can't even see the stupid thing. I don't get it. Then I look around and everybody's got sunglasses on. I'm like, that's the point right there. They give you special glasses to put on. All of a sudden you're like, shabam! It's illuminated. It's clear as a bell. I want you to know the Holy Spirit of God illuminates His Word like that. So sometimes we get in the Bible in the morning, and I think it's important for us to say, Holy Spirit of God, could you open this up for me? God, this is too much for me. I'm not getting nothing out of the Bible. I think I'll just quit reading it. Maybe you're missing something. Put on the dang cardboard sunglasses, you know. Holy Spirit of God, please illuminate this for me. Illumination. 1 Corinthians 2. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. Everybody, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'd like to read verses like 9. There's so much in here. Let's read 9 to the end of the chapter. Ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. See, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. See, it's a spiritual endeavor. Do you see that? So in your fleshly human reasoning, and just because you're a smart lady, it don't mean you're going to understand the Bible. It's a spiritual thing. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, the natural average guy, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Sometimes it even defies our logic. We're like, that don't make sense. Neither can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. It's got to be spiritually discerned and unfolded. Do you see it? Verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Hey, who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Then it ends with saying this, But we have the mind of Christ. We have it. We compare Scripture with Scripture, the spiritual with spiritual. And this is where I think the doctrine of an illumination comes in, where the Holy Spirit of God will illuminate and open up your understanding. And by the way, people that didn't choose to believe the Bible, Jesus Christ, you know what Jesus Christ did? Jesus Christ would start teaching in parables. And as he's teaching in parables, he's teaching in these parables, and people are like, that's weird, we don't understand what you're talking about. He pulls his disciples aside, hey, let me tell you the secrets to what I'm talking about, because I don't want them to understand, because they don't believe. They're going to see contradictions and things that don't make sense, but when you're a real believer, the Bible comes to life for you. And guys, I'm speaking a little bit of a foreign language this morning. In Psalms 119, when it says, God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Some of us in this room, you're morally good. You're saved. You come to church. Some of you get in the Bible every day. But guess what? You don't get your cues from God's word. You don't take your steps when he illuminates you. Like, you got to have things in perfect order and you got to see them. You're like, well, that's just how I am. Well, that's not how faith always works. Sometimes you take that step, but you obey God and his word. He wants to illuminate your steps. He wants to guide you in the process of life. But why do we think this old history book? Yeah, God speaks in there, but you know, and then we picture God doing business with a long, white, bearded dude, Moses, you know, and like, oh, that's how that worked back then. But you know, it don't work like that today. People like to do that all the time. They'll read something and go, well, the culture back then, that was ridiculous. You know, it's ridiculous today. Well, yeah, it's ridiculous to our way of thinking. But I'm just telling you, the Bible's true. These three on-ramps that get us to Route 66, we got to have all three. Believe the revelation of God on how it was revealed. There's the doctrine of inspiration, which we see how God got it to the human authors. And we got our books today and got our manuscripts. And here it is. It's completed and it's absolutely perfect. You'll go to some churches, they have like other books even in their Bible. You're like, I ain't never heard of the book of Maccabees before. Don't worry about it. It's not inspired. Never was. The apostles, the early dudes that put the Bible together, all that, it was nothing. Somebody would just say, did you know in the 70s, like, they discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls, hence dead, you know? Like, but people think they're inspired too, and sometimes they'll add them to the back of the Bible. And it's confusing, isn't it? Because it's just an old book. And I'm just like, you know what? But so is Shakespeare, right? I mean, let's be careful here. Let's get onto God's Route 66 by using the revelation, knowing that it's an inspired book and it's perfect and it's true, and let the Holy Spirit of God illuminate you and me. I don't go to the dentist much, but the few times I have been to the dentist in my life, you know, I don't know why, but before you go, I don't know if you're like me, but man, I like brush my mouth extra good. I brush my tongue extra good. I floss if I can find some. You know, because normally, you know when you floss when a piece of meat's stuck in your teeth. That's when you floss. But some people floss every day. I have a friend that flosses after every meal. He's got beautiful teeth, too. This guy got braces when he was like in his 30s. And I was like, man, you're beautiful, you know. But now they're clean, and he flosses every day. And they tell you to do that. I'm just letting you know what I do and what I don't do. But what's crazy to me is I floss, I go in, I'm thinking, man, these people are going to look at me and say, your teeth are beautiful. They never say that. And let me tell you why. Because the dentist, the people that work in the dentist's office, they're not impressed with my brushing. They're not even impressed necessarily with my flossing. See, they take like, I have to bite on a thing, and then you see a light flash. I'm like, what in the world? Well, they're taking like these x-rays of my teeth. See, they're doing something bigger. They're not impressed because they're looking deeper than I can look, deeper than I can see. I'm like, I think my teeth are fine, and I can even push air through my teeth. I can squirt water through my teeth. And when I can't, I floss because there's something stuck in there. But I go there, and they look, and they're like, huh, we got a little work to do. And you flip you back in that chair, and all of a sudden, they get out these tools. And most of the time with me, I don't hear engines running. It's hand tools, sharp little tools. And all of a sudden, they're like, my head's jerking. I'm like, what in God's name? They're like, yeah, you got a lot of plaque over. We got to bust this off your... I didn't know it was there. I don't feel it in there. Some people like the way their mouth feels when they get out of the dentist. Ah, it feels so clean. I hate that feeling. I feel like, man, they just took half my teeth away. Like, it's not as strong as it used to be. But guys, they know what they're doing. They're looking deeper. And I just want you to know, this reminds me of like illumination. And sometimes our humanness thinks I got everything I can. But listen, there is a different standard. And I got to go to God and His Holy Spirit and say, God, as I read this, could you take tools that I don't have? Can you do work that I don't even know how to do it? People that are educated higher than me can do it. And they go in and say, there's a problem here. We need to address your gums. There's things in your gums, dude, that you don't even know about. I don't even know what it's supposed to look like. I don't know about you, but I'm famous for just taking toothpaste and putting it in my mouth because my mind says, ah, fresh, your teeth are clean. I do it all the time. My girls know that, don't you? By the way, let me tell you something that the dentist don't like people. Don't buy no medicine. Let me help everybody out in this room. Got a tummy ache? Take a little toothpaste. I'm just telling you. And they say, oh, you shouldn't ingest fluoride like that. It's bad for you. I'm an epitome of health. Look at me up here. My teeth ain't the best, by the way. They're chipping and they're a little bit yellow. But it's the coffee they serve here. That's what the problem is. So this is the on-ramp. Okay, now, here's the rewards. I wanted to put them all up here because we're going to move pretty quick through these. Now, I'm just going to start with number one, and I'm just going to preach a little bit. As soon as I yellow my teeth a little bit more. Guys, did you know 1 Corinthians 2:16 that we just read says we have the mind of Christ? Guys, there's something special about this book. Even though human authors wrote it, God had the Holy Spirit move these guys. These are like God's words. This is like a treasure chest. Like there's things in here, there's drops and bits of wisdom. Like there's things that in here that would make a monster man fall to his knees. Like if you would just allow this book to illuminate you. So let me give you some rewards for being and taking this route, jumping on this on ramps and jumping on Route 66. You ready? Number one, in an impure world, God's book can keep you pure. I want to show you, if you want to see these really clearly, just go to Psalms 119. It's the middle of your Bible. It's the largest chapter in the Bible. And I'm going to use this and I'll sprinkle some other verses in. Are you ready? Ready? Psalms 119, let's look at verse 9. Psalms 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How can somebody be clean? By what? Taking heed thereto according to God's word. In an impure world, God's word will help keep you pure. In a world that's riddled with pornography, it's everywhere. It's easy to get to now, right? It's a big, big problem. Churches ain't just saying that, by the way. They're saying it everywhere. It's messing people up. What an impure world. But God's word will help keep you clean. That's what it says here. How can you clean that up? Verse 11, thy word have I hid mine heart that I might not what? Sin against thee. So I could take a cup right now. If I take a cup of poison, I take a cup of, let me just say it this way. If I take a cup of dirt, I get some dirt, scoop it in, pour a little water and say, here, have a cup of mud. Well, if you take a pitcher of water and start pouring it in that cup and pouring it in that cup, if you have a big enough pitcher, you put enough water in that cup, it'll be crystal clear and you can drink it. You know what can keep us clean? That book right there. But people don't want to do the hard work, do they? Got problems, got habits in your life, a bad way of thinking, you know. And if people would treat the Bible like their cigarette, and I know that's kind of my generation, like their vape. I wake up in the morning, I want a vape. I eat a little breakfast, I want a vape. I just want to smoke a cigarette all the time. Any little break, downtime, man, I just wish I had a cigarette now. It just feels, my dad smoked my whole life, and I didn't think my dad was gross. I thought he was very cool. And I wanted to be a smoker just like him. And so I tried smoking all the time when I was a kid. I'd try it. Every couple, I'd just grab one. I'd be like, never stuck. And I'm so glad because I'd get into that habit and I'd probably really like it. So what do you do? If you would treat the Bible like that, as you go along, you got a little break, think of the Word. You got a little time on your break, you can open God's Word. Somewhere we're at as a church, maybe somewhere we're at in discipleship, open your discipleship lesson, look at a few points. If you do that all day long, and every time you get a little bit nervous, man, I just need a cigarette right now. I don't know what it is, but every time I eat, I want to smoke a cigarette, you know. Hey, every time you get done eating, replace that with the Bible. Go get a Bible verse. Listen to some preaching. You got some Christian music on. And you know what's crazy about it? You'll find yourself doing something. You ain't going to smoke. You're not going to smoke. You're not going to smell like a cigarette. You're not going to be that nasty. You're going to find yourself like, my gosh, I'm actually clean. Yeah, you know why? Because you're ingesting God's Word. The world's impure. If you want to be pure, get in this book. You don't understand. Pastor, my mind's really messed up. Me too. The flesh is never right. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a mind game, isn't it? You know how I know it's a mind game? It's funny. I can see crazy in other people, but I can't see crazy in myself. Isn't it true? Literally. I'll be like looking, I'm just like, my gosh, I've gotten fat, you know. I'll say things like that, and I'm just like, man, I look chubby. You know, I've got to do something about this. You try to get clothes to hide your fat, you know. And I work this whole thing, and I'll come out, and Bethany will pop over and just say, man, Dad, you're looking skinny. I was just in there wrestling with myself, but I couldn't even pick myself up and slam myself. I'm so fat. What's wrong with me? Well, what's wrong with me is you know how it is. And I'm probably speaking more like a lady because ladies kind of tend to be more concerned about this stuff. You know how it is. And then all of a sudden you'll get to the point where it'll be sick. You'll be perfectly looking good. You'll like have a perfect body and look in the mirror. But your mind tells you, not good. What you see is not good. You're like, oh my gosh. You know what you need? The Word. You need the Word. It'll clean your mind up. I'm a firm believer in brainwashing. Amen. It works. Wash them brains. Wash them brain cells out, right? Isn't it funny that every habit that we have in our life, it always affects something in the frontal cortex, throwing dopamine up there. Chemicals in the brain. I don't care if it's porn or heroin. It's affecting them. Bam, it's coming together and you're like lit up. Yeah, I'm on fire. I love this. That's why we love getting high. It does something for us. Renew your mind with that book and allow it to do that for you. Allow it to do that for you. Get to the spot where you're like, my gosh. Some people says, I can't get through a day without a joint. I understand, my friend, but you're thinking wrong. Start saturating yourself with that book. Develop a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you'll find yourself one day going, I can't get through a day without letting that book in my head. With putting it in my heart and my mind, it changes who I am. In an impure world, guess what? God's book will keep you pure. God's book will open your eyes. Guess what? In a blind and confused world, God's book will open your eyes. Look at verse 18 here. We're all in what? Psalms 119? I got away from it, sorry. Psalms 119, look at verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Look over at verses 105. Thy word's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So see, people are blind and they're confused. God's book will open your eyes. Teach that book. People are confused. And somebody just says, I really think I'm a woman. Well, okay, all the chemicals in your bodies, all the plumbing that God hooked on you says you're a male. But no, I really identify as a female. And guys, let me tell you, you know, what the Bible says about this. You don't have to believe me. I'm pushing my agenda. I can show you in Scripture. You can even go to Romans chapter 1, and it'll show you that Romans chapter 1, what happens is the mind, God allows it to be reprobate. It's not correct. What you're thinking is not correct. That's what cracks me up is like, you know, you get two people the same sex even wanting to get together. And all of a sudden they decide, we want kids. Well, guess what? You can't. Impossible. Well, unless you want to break routine. You can break routine and find a way. There's always a doctor can do something. There's always somebody, especially for a few bucks. It all comes at a price, by the way. And you pay that price, and all of a sudden you can be like, yeah, and here we got it. It's just a sad situation, because what it is, it's just somebody's confused. Somebody's so confused. So confused. They're blind. But guess what will open our eyes? Route 66, man, the Bible. What about three here? God's book will produce a reverence for him, but check this out. In a self-centered, arrogant world, the world tells you it's all about you, right? Social media, brand yourself. That's what you do, brand yourself. That's what you do. You always make yourself look good. In a world that is self-centered and arrogant, God's book will produce a reverence for him. Look here in Psalms 119 and verse 37. Psalms 119:37. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in the way. That word quicken means make alive. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. If you get in this book enough, you'll start fearing God. You'll start paying more attention to him and his glory than you, than your self-centered, arrogant self. You'll start learning a few things about what? His mind. Philippians 2 says we need to be like Christ. And what did Jesus do? He humbled himself and became a servant. He ministered to people. He gave his life. It was all about other people. That's what this book will do for you and me. In a self-centered, arrogant world, teenagers are just so arrogant, ain't they? They think they know things. Well, guess what? Don't sit around and beat up your teenager. Instead, be a home where you saturate it with the Bible. What's the Bible say about it? Them should be the conversations at dinner time. We're so busy we don't eat at dinner together. Then guess what? Somebody's going to influence your children's mind more than God's word in you. Let them do whatever they want to. Keep them busy, right? Because that means happiness. I'll tell you what it really means. Craziness. That's what it'll produce. Self-centered arrogancy. Guess what? Number four, in a world of heartache and affliction, God's book will revive and renew your spirit. In a world of heartache and affliction. Look at verse 92 here in Psalms 119. If you go over to verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. Like God's word produces joy in the midst of a terrible situation. Wow. Quicken thou me according to thy word. That's what Psalms 119 verse 25 says. Quicken thou me. Make me alive, right? So in a world that's filled with heartache and affliction, the world's tough. God's word is going to renew your spirit and let you face another day. It's sad watching people because I'll tell you what addictions do. Hey, getting high is fun. That's why everybody wants to do it. Doing the party scene, all that is very, very fun. You really like it because it does something to you. Whatever you're getting your dopamine hit from. I don't know what it is. It don't have to be, just don't think of dope. Think of another kind of dope. Whatever you like. Maybe it's McDonald's for you. I don't know. But McDonald's fries, they hit right, don't they? A good hot, salty fry from McDonald's. It's just like, you know, Jim Gaffigan says it best. He goes, man, everybody's got a cocaine, you know. That's most people's. They like that stuff. It hits just right. But what we do is in a world that's filled with heartache and affliction, eventually McDonald's fries lead you. It's a long-term thing, but it usually leads you to the emergency room, you know. Heroin, it's good, especially if it's something you can control. And you know how it is once you develop a habit. It's so fun to do this. Some people say, man, I love ribeye steak. If you have ribeye steak every night, guess what happens? A few weeks down the road, you're just like, normally this is weird for me to say this, but a little spaghetti would be nice tonight. I'll take a 30-cent thing of ramen, you know? What, over ribeye? Yeah, but that's how it is with an addiction. It leads to an affliction. Drinking's fun. Putting on the buzz is fun. But if you continue doing it, your tolerance gets jacked up, and before you know it, you're now I need 12 of them. Oh, really? It used to be just a few, didn't it? Just to get the, I don't get drunk. I just like to put on the buzz a little bit, don't I? And I'm here to tell you, in a world of heartache and affliction, there's something that will override that and give you joy and revive and renew your spirit. Guys, it's the book we're holding today. It's the book. Get the new look from the old book. It'll do it. I got to get done. You ready? Five. God's book will make you wise beyond yourself, because you know why? We got a world right now of hatred. We got a world of ignorance and misunderstanding. God's word will give you wisdom. It'll provide understanding. It's a confusing world out there. Go to the book. No, you really need to go to Fox News. Fox News is terrible. CNN, terrible. Guys, honestly, we know this. They're all liars. Right? That keeps you coming back. All politicians end up falling in that category. Do you remember when this last, before the election, and they did that last debate, and the next day they're like, who's lying here? They were both caught in like nine lies, fibbing the truth, screwing the truth over, you know. I'm just like, what in the world? Who do we trust? Woohoo! The Bible! It's true! May God's word give it, and you can look at Psalms 119, 97 through 100, if you want to. That's why Jesus tells you and me, hey, you know what you do, church, in Mark 16? What's the church supposed to do about this? The world's crazy. The world's ignorant. The world hates. What are we supposed to do? Go ye into all the world. That's what you do. Church, let's go to the world and take good news. And people are going to think, they're simpletons, aren't they? Yes, I am. In a world that's confusing, I'm a simpleton. What's smartphones done for us? Now we're addicted to that. Ain't that funny? A day without a smartphone. My gosh, I'd rather die. It's my life. It wakes me up in the morning. It puts me to bed at night. Becky's like, can you turn that brightness down a little bit? I'm like, shut up. I got something going on here. The last one, God's word will keep your mind clear because why? The world's twisted. You just don't have a twisted sister. We got a twisted planet, man. Perspectives. Standards have changed through the years. This used to be true, and now it's not true anymore. It's jacked up, guys. Everybody has, it's deceit. This book will keep your mind clear. Psalms 119, 101 says that. Retain God's word in your knowledge, and you won't have a reprobate mind. It won't be a garbage mind, right? And I have a couple more verses down there. Look them up on your own. You'll probably get them. I'm going to end this message by just telling you a story. And I'm going to take you back to an old commercial that not everybody will remember in this room. But some of us older folks will totally remember when Prego spaghetti sauce came out. And when it came out, there was a commercial. I don't know if you remember this commercial, but it was really funny because a mom would be cooking this pot of vibrant red sauce, the aromas filling the house, and you can just see it. And, you know, it's kind of an old-fashioned Leave It to Beaver scenario. It was this Prego spaghetti sauce. And the son comes running in, and the son says, he looks in and sees this pot, and he goes, where are the mushrooms? And what's the mom say? It's in there. The kid goes, well, where's the sausage? It's in there. Like anything he says, and that's kind of a big thing on the commercial, what about these ripe tomatoes? Oh, it's in there. The kick, the flavor, everything about the Prego spaghetti sauce was on the inside. And guys, I'm just here to tell you, I don't care what you throw at me today. Some of you would say, where's my victory? I know it's hard to see, but it's in there. Man, I need some power in my life. Where's the power? It's in there. I just want the truth. Could somebody tell me the truth? It's in there. Man, I need some transformation. It's in there. I just need a little peace in my life. If I could just have a little peace. It's in there. This book we're holding this morning is pretty special. This is God's Route 66. There's no clear, simple path to get me where I need to be. I hope today was a blessing that you've seen the on-ramps to getting on this route, how God kind of put it together a little bit. And there's a whole host of rewards of being in this book. So guys, get the new look from the old book. May it illuminate you and open your eyes. Jesus, thank you for your word today. I pray we're a people that gets fired up about the Bible, about its truth. God, I pray for the man or woman in the room that might not know you, and I pray they're drawn to you. Jesus, this is your mind. And you said if we'd lift you up, you'd draw men to yourself. I pray that people would come to know you in here, and then people would learn to walk and talk with you just like Adam did in the garden. And Lord, I know we can do that through the pages of this book. I pray today that the people at the Maple City Baptist Church, the people that hear this message this week, would be able to taste the rewards that this book offers. It's in your name we pray. Amen.